Well, good evening. It's good now. Come on. I said good evening. There you are. Thank you. Good to be here, Alan. Thank you. You read that just like I emailed you. Appreciate that. Word for word. No, I love Alan very much and appreciate what he's done here. And always a blessing and an honor when we can study the Word of God together and open up the Word of God. The theme for, I guess, the whole summer series is the Victory Garden, and what's that look like? And the topic I was assigned tonight, talking about the spiritual war we're in, and how can we grow spiritually together? It's no secret that we have been in a spiritual war since the very beginning, since the very first sin that was recorded, and Satan has been on the attack ever since. And we have to be in this world. We have to live in this world. How do we do that? What are some things that we can do to make it through? What are some ways we can navigate through? And I have to tell you, you don't already know, but it's not easy, is it? Every day we get challenged. The Bible is getting challenged, and as Christians, we have to stand up for the truth. If you want to turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to read verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." So what's our responsibilities as a Christian? As Christians, the first thing that we're responsible for is that we grow spiritually. And that we continue to grow spiritually every day. No matter if we've been a Christian for 5 minutes, or 5 years, or 50 years. As Christians, we never stop growing. And we should never stop growing. We should always be looking to find something that in the Bible every day that's going to help us to be a better Christian. As Alan mentioned, I was able to work, actually was able to work with Dad full-time for several years and also worked with Bill Craddock. Some of you may know Bill Craddock, who passed away a couple years ago now, but Bill preached over 60 years. And I can remember one day he walked in my office and he said, "I just learned something new today." Man, that stuck with me. Because here's a man that's been preaching for 40, 50 plus years. He was an amazing student of the Bible. And he said, "Hey, I just learned something I didn't know in the Bible." That's how we should be. We should never stop learning in the Bible. We should always want to do, we should always want to read, and we should always want to study God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, as desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You see, when we first become Christians, we're not expected to know the entire Bible from start to finish. We need to know the basic things of the Bible, and the Bible refers to that we're the babes in Christ. But as we get older, and as we continue to grow, we need to grow spiritually. How do we do that? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to be in the Word. We have to understand what the Word is. We have to read the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And there's the key to navigate in this world: God's Word. God has given us the answers to the test, so to speak. God says, "You need to be in this world, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to just leave you here and say good luck." He gives us help, and the help is His Word. But if we don't read it, and if we don't try to understand it, and if we don't become students of it, we're not going to know what it says. It doesn't do any good to know something if we don't apply it. You may have heard the phrase, "Knowledge is power." But I always say, applied knowledge is power. Because if I know something and I don't use it, what good is it? So if I don't get into the Word of God, and I don't read it and study it and try to understand it, the Bible does me no good. And God has given us this tool to navigate through this. In the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Starting at verse 12, it says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. John's written here, he's given us some ways that we can grow spiritually. He's given us some of those things here. So I want to look at three things tonight to deal with spiritual maturity. First thing is that we know our sins are forgiven. As Christians, we need to know that God loves us. And He knew we were going to sin. And He gave us that the will and the freedom to choose. And He knows we're going to make the wrong decisions. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent His Son, the perfect sacrifice. Because only the blood of Jesus could cover our sins. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Jesus died because we're sinners. Jesus emptied Himself. He came down from heaven to walk this earth, knowing what the end was going to be. Knowing that He's going to have to be crucified. Knowing that He's going to be mocked, spat upon, ridiculed. But He still did it because He loves us. And it was the Father's will. As Christians, we also have talked about that salvation that we have. Acts chapter 2 and 38, we all know it. It says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If we're going to grow spiritually, and we're going to continue to grow spiritually, we need to understand that our sins are forgiven. We're not always going to make the right decision. We're going to mess up. But God's right there waiting for us to come back. But as Christians, we should not go backwards. We should try to go forward. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Starting at verse 12. It says, "I thank the one who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." He's saying, I was this at one time, but now I'm this because of Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't go backwards. He kept going forwards. But he remembered what he did. He remembered what he was before. But he used that to make himself better as a Christian. So the second thing we can do when it comes to growing spiritually, as a child of God, can grow spiritually by knowing Him that was from the beginning. We have to know God. We have to know God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." We have to know God. We can't do this on our own. We can't. Now, sometimes I think I can, and God lets me. And I fall. And God says, "Okay, now let's do this my way." See, He gives us the ability to choose, and He's not going to force us to do anything. He's not going to make us do anything. And again, he knew we were going to make the wrong choices. That's where Jesus comes into play. But he's always there waiting for me to come back to him. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Another way we can encourage, another way we can grow spiritually is by encouraging others. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting at verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Isn't it good to get encouragement from our brothers and sisters? Just walking in, I got to see some old friends I haven't seen in a while. It was great to see them and their little addition there. It was good to see her and the boys. And it's just good to talk and catch up, but I noticed everybody smiling as we walk in. And church does that to us, doesn't it? I could be having a bad day, and I got to be honest with you, I love Wednesdays. I love Wednesday Bible study because that's my midweek charge. And we all have lived through this dumb COVID stuff, right? I don't want to call it dumb. It was serious. But it was a challenge and still is a challenge. And a lot of things have changed since then. And a lot of churches, unfortunately, they weren't able to come back together after this whole COVID. And it was good to be able to worship online when the churches weren't meeting. And at least we had that avenue. And I enjoyed being able to watch other congregations on Sundays. And I won't lie, I enjoyed going to church in my shorts and t-shirt with my Mountain Dew sitting in my recliner. I'd have been all right over here. I don't really get too used to that. But I won't lie to you, it was okay. But it wasn't church, was it? I missed the fellowship. I missed seeing my brothers and my sisters every Sunday and every Wednesday. And I missed the vacation Bible schools that we didn't get to have. And I missed the men's breakfast that we didn't get to have. And all the things that we had to not be, that we weren't able to do because we couldn't meet. I was blessed to be able to still worship with my family and partake of communion, but it wasn't with my church family. I can remember that first Sunday in Massillon that we were able to meet together. It was just, what a great reunion that was. I think it had been a little bit over a year since the congregation had been able to meet together in corporate worship. Man, that was great. And we all said, okay, we shouldn't hug each other, but you know that didn't happen, right? Everybody's hugging, and you know, because we missed each other. We missed that fellowship. We missed the smiles. Because if I have a bad day, or Satan's got a hold of me with something, I walk through those doors. I need that encouragement from my brothers and my sisters. I need to hear them say, you know what? We'll pray for you. It's good to know we're being prayed for, isn't it? It's good to know that we have people that love us so much that they take the time and they pray for us. And so what a wonderful blessing it's been to be able to get back together, and now the activities are starting back up and have been starting back up. But I bet, just like where I attend worship, I bet here on Sunday mornings, you can look around the auditorium and you see people that came a couple years ago that maybe haven't come back. And we miss them. And we need to continue to pray for them that something will prick their hearts. We need to continue to encourage them and reach out and make a phone call or send a card. Say, hey, we miss you. And just as it was a blessing that we could watch online Facebook or live YouTube or different channels, the worships, I think maybe that also was a little bit of a hindrance too. Yeah, I said I enjoyed going to church in my shorts and t-shirt, but when I was ready to get back in the church building, I'm afraid some folks stayed comfortable at home. Christians were challenged, weren't we? That was a tough time. That was a really tough time. I got no problem telling you, I really struggled sometimes because I couldn't be with my brothers and my sisters. Encouragement is something not only we need to give to others, but that we need. And part of our spiritual development and part of our spiritual growth is understanding that. God loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He made us humans to be around people. Now, I know some friends of mine who are introverts, and they love this COVID thing because they didn't have to shake a hand. They had to talk to somebody. But man, if you're like me, who was an absolute extrovert, oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. Satan won some battles. Satan won some people over. We need to keep those folks in mind and remember them. And give them a letter of encouragement. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I'd be willing to bet if we took a little bit of time tonight and went around the room and asked everybody what the power of prayer does for them, I bet we get some pretty good answers. When somebody we love is sick, we pray for them. When somebody we love is hurting, we pray for them. Somebody had cancer, we pray for them. Right? Prayer is so important. We should have a daily prayer life. And we should not only pray to God when things aren't going well, but we should pray to God when things are going well. We should thank Him for those blessings. We should thank Him for the things that He has given us. We should be grateful to Him. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear my prayers. He wants me to ask Him to help. Why? Not because He needs me to ask Him to help, because He knows what I need. But I need to humble myself. I need to humble myself and say, God, I don't have it all. God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. I need You to help me. And as I mentioned earlier, man, when we tell somebody that I'm going to pray for you, what an encouragement that is. I can remember several years ago we had some folks, well, when the guy on a mission trip, I think this congregation here was a part of that. And we had a prayer at church. We had a board, and it was a prayer board. And they had all the days listed that the men were going to, I think it was not just men, that the team was going to be gone. And every hour of those days, somebody else had signed up to pray for them that hour. And when the team left, they took those lists down. And if I remember right, the lists were full. And the team took those lists with them. And when they got back and they were giving us their presentation and they were showing us the things they had done, one of the first things they had said was, knowing that the congregation was praying for them while they were gone was such a comfort. Prayer is comforting. Prayer gives us peace. I need to pray to God every day and say, God, thank You. I need to pray to God every day and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need Your love and I need Your mercy. I need Your forgiveness. You see, part of growing spiritually and part of knowing that we need to grow spiritually is understanding that we are sinners. and that we do fall short of the glory of, God. But He sent His Son to take our place on that cross. And there's nothing we can do that will ever be good enough to repay the debt that Jesus paid for us. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Doesn't say some of us. Doesn't say a few of us. It says all of us. That means everybody. Jesus didn't come just to save some of the world. He didn't come just to save part of the world. But He came to save all the world. God loves all the world. Every day we need to thank Him for those blessings. I can't emphasize enough how much prayer, our prayer life is important when it comes to our spiritual growth. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes maybe we don't know what to ask for. But sometimes we're in such a situation that we feel so alone and that nobody understands it or nobody gets it or nobody understands how I'm feeling. Maybe we're at our lowest of lows. When you feel that way, when you feel like nobody gets it, and you feel like nobody understands, remember Jesus. Because Jesus gets it. Jesus understands. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be at the lowest of lows. He was praying in the garden, and He knew what was about to happen to Him. The text, the scriptures say that His sweat turned like blood. And He was praying so fervently. He said, "Father, if there's anything we could do, I don't want to go through this." But then He said, "Not my will, but your will." That's what should be our prayers. God, do with me what you please. God, send me where you have me go. God's going to challenge us. God's going to put us in positions that we're not comfortable with. God's going to give us things that we never thought were possible. I always say, if you really pray to God and you ask Him to give you somebody to teach the Bible to, be ready for it, because He will. And if you're not ready to teach the Bible to somebody, don't pray that prayer, because He's going to give you somebody. But He's not going to send us alone. He's not going to say, "Well, here you go, good luck, have at it." He's always with us. He's always beside us. Time and time again, we can read in the Bible where God wanted certain men to do certain things or certain people to do certain things, and they said no. If you remember Moses and Jonah and some of those, Noah, some of those great men, they said, "No, you got the wrong guy. I can't do that." But God said, "No, you're going to do this, and I'm going to help you." Remember Nehemiah? When he wanted to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. One of my favorite verses and chapters, I think it's Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Before he talked to the king, it says, and Nehemiah prayed. He was going to go talk to the king, and he wanted to say the right things. He wanted to let the king let him go back and help rebuild. But he prayed. God hears our prayers. God is waiting for us to pray to Him. And if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to help others grow spiritually, if we're going to be encouragement to others, we have to ask God to help us. We have to ask God to give us the right direction. Every day, we should strive to be better than we were the day before. Every day, we should thank God for loving us, for giving us His Son, the ultimate sacrifice. Every day, we should say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need Your forgiveness. Just like the prodigal son, the father waits there. He's ready to run towards us when we fall short and welcome us back home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to You this evening. We humbly bow, Father. We're so grateful. First of all, You've given us Your Word. As You've given us this the Bible that we can read from it, Father. And Father, I pray that You open it up to us and that our hearts are ready to receive it every time we read Your Word. Father, this world is challenging. Father, living in this world and having to navigate through it is difficult. But Father, if we keep our goal on the end prize, if we keep our focus on the end, the promise that You've given us, that if we remain faithful, and if we're Your children, that Father, You'll take us home to that ultimate goal, and that's heaven. Father, I pray that all of us continue to grow spiritually. Father, that our spiritual maturity never stops. And Father, that we share the good news with every person that we can. That we share that Jesus Christ is Your Son. And that He did die for my sins. And Father, we know that You didn't send Him to this world to condemn it, but to save it. And Father, I pray that we can do as much as we can for the kingdom. That we can all stand strong together. And if there ever becomes a day that we have to stand up and defend You, Father, that we are able to do so. Father, we love You so much. And we thank You so much for Your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.